Good morning. It is good to see all of these smiling, beautiful faces here. If you'd rather be here than the best hospital in Jackson County, say amen.
Amen.
That's right. Well, we got exciting things still going on at the church. Just in two more Sundays, we got another two more baptisms on the morning of the 28th, Beth and David. So we're thanking God for that. And we're just praising the Lord for Billy and Brandy as they're getting married here in a couple weeks. And Billy's sitting there going, ooh. Well, you got a lot of good support, I'll tell you that. So, hey, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of James, chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. When you get there, I'd like to ask you to stand, if you're able, as I read from God's Word. Today I'll be preaching on the importance of listening. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you for the reading of this word. And God, today, I pray, Lord, that you will make us the kind of people who are quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. We pray, Father, for your Spirit and your love to work within us, that we will become obedient to you in every aspect of the Christian life. And dear God, as I preach this message, let every word come from you through your Holy Spirit and nothing from myself. For we ask it in Jesus' holy name. We love you, Lord. Amen. In this very passage, there's something that God wants you and I to see and what He's urging us to do. He is urging us to cultivate patience, self-control, and humility in our interactions and our reactions to difficult times and situations. Now, I want to point something out. Be very careful with this. I've had people come to me and say, "Now, Brother Jim, I've been praying for patience, but every time I do, something bad starts to happen." Well, I want to tell you this. If you're praying for patience, trials will come your way, because how do you learn patience? Through trials. That's God's way of testing our faith to see if we are going to lean on Him or if we're going to lean on the ways of the world. First thing I want to look at today is being quick to listen. We need to be a careful and thoughtful listener to God's Word and to other people. Now, back when I was in high school about 5 years ago, I'm just kidding. When I was in high school many years ago, I took building trades class, and we built a home. And then that home got sold to the highest bidder in the sealed bids. Anyway, I was excited because I never got to build a house with a team of other guys. But I had a teacher that God put in my path that was a prime example of living a Christian life. His name was Darwin Baggett, and he was one of the best teachers. And this is something he always said every day when we came to class. He would say, "Now, boys, I'm going to say this one time, and I'm going to say it one time only, and I want you to do what? Listen." He said, "Because what I'm going to tell you will help you to do the job you're going to do today correctly, and it will keep you from being involved in an accident or being injured." And I'm telling you what, when Darwin Baggett spoke the knowledge that he spoke, because the man knew the trade so well, you took his words to heart and you listened. And not only that, you followed what he said. Now, there are boys in our class who heard. I don't think they really listened, or they didn't heed what Darwin said, because they got themselves into trouble. And it's like that in the Christian life. God speaks to us, and God says, I want you to listen to my words, because it's so important. God is the one who created all living things. He created the heavens and the earth. And if God has that much power and that much knowledge, then we should be at a standstill before God. And when the Lord is speaking to our lives, I think there's something we should do very importantly. Something a lot of our school teachers would say, I want you to button your lip and I want you to listen. I can imagine Laura probably saying that many times to her students. I need you to listen to what I'm telling you, because what you're going to hear is very important. So when God speaks to us, we must listen not only with our ears, but most importantly, we need to open our heart, and we need to take in every single word from God, and we need to think about it. We need to dwell on it. We need to ponder it. And we need to apply it to our lives. Because when God is saying something to each and every one of us, God has a specific reason and a purpose that He's doing it. And one thing, now, something we've talked about in Sunday school, we like to argue back with God. We like to tell God our side of things. We like to tell God, well, get somebody else to do it. Or let me do this another time. But I want you to know, when God is speaking something to you, listen and pray and just tell God, I trust you by faith, Lord, and what you are speaking, I will do in obedience to your word. Mark 4:9, Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, Jesus said that he was given the parable of the sower in this chapter. But Jesus is saying, let him who has ears to hear, hear. Jesus says that a lot through Scripture, because the words he speaks are so powerful and so important. Every word of God that is given to us is necessary for us to live. We have to pay attention. When we do, we will learn much. Listening makes you wiser and more knowledgeable about things. Are you going to learn something when somebody's giving you instruction, but at the same time, you're what I've been told, a know-it-all? And you're talking back, and you're not letting the person actually speak what they need to say that's on their heart. I know one time that Mr. Baggett was saying something to a bunch of us boys one morning. He said, boys, pay attention to what I'm telling you. He said, now you're going to go in the attic today, and he said, you're going to do some wiring. He said, it's important for you to stay on the catwalk that was built across the trusses, because if you come off of that catwalk, you're going to put your foot through the sheetrock, and then you're going to come through and you're going to destroy the work that somebody else has done so hard, has spent so much time on doing. And at the same time that Mr. Baggett is speaking, there were some of us who are going, yes, Mr. Baggett, we know, we understand. You don't have to tell us all that. And we really didn't pay attention. Well, four of us go up in the attic. Two of us are sitting across the trusses off of the catwalk. And that's not what Mr. Baggett said to us to do. But we're sitting on the trusses. And me and another guy are bringing the wires together up in the attic in the junction boxes. We were twisting wires together, putting wire caps on, and then putting the lid on the box. And all of a sudden, like a crack of thunder, we heard goosh, boom. And we looked, and there's a hole about this big around in the drywall, in the ceiling. And those of us that were up in the ceiling, we looked down through the hole. And I won't say his name because somebody might know him some way. This is a small world. But there lay one of the students down in the floor on his back going, oh, oh. And here come Mr. Baggett right into the living room. Boys, I told you, and nobody listened. See, being wise, if we would have listened to what Mr. Baggett said, if we would have stayed on the catwalk, if we would have done like he asked us, we wouldn't have been in the predicament that we're in. Same way with God's people. If we listen to what God says, if we are wise and knowledgeable, if we listen, we will become wise and knowledgeable. If we trust Him by faith, if we walk in obedience to His Word, then we won't find ourselves in the bad predicaments that we put ourselves in. Now the guy that fell through the ceiling, he couldn't point his finger at one of us and said, well, he made me do it. Do you know how many times we as Christian people say, the devil made me do it? No. There's a lot of times that we do stuff our own self. It's our own prodding. We create bad situations. And then when things go south, we stand there and go, the devil made me do it. Or somebody else provoked me. But in the same way, God is saying, I've been talking to you. I've been trying to get through to you, but you turned a deaf ear to what I was saying. God needs us to open our hearts and listen to Him and keep our mouths closed, which is where I'm getting to next. Slow to speak. This encourages thoughtful, carefully chosen words rather than careless speech. Every single one of us should be very careful what comes out of our mouth. Because do you know that the tongue of the mouth, it's a dangerous weapon? In the book of James, it says it's full of a deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise God, but then yet we tear down or we curse our brothers and sisters in Christ. Meaning, we talk bad about them. We spread gossip. There's so much under that umbrella there. But we've got to be careful. That's why the Bible says that we have to listen to what God is saying. If we are about to say something, we should very, very quickly think to ourselves, is this going to build up? Or is it going to tear down? Is what I'm about to say going to be profitable? Or is what I'm going to say, is it going to cause a train wreck? Am I going to hurt somebody's feelings? Am I going to be a good witness with my life? Because I'm telling you what, you could be friends with somebody. You could have a close connection in God's family with somebody. But it only takes 2 seconds of a negative mouth to destroy what it took years to build. And that's true. We were talking this morning in Sunday school about when churches have a split because people have disagreements. You know what, folks? It's okay to have disagreements, but you can't let the disagreement cause a gap in the love and the relationships that you have with each other. And that's what we saw this week. We saw evil and hate displayed, and somebody lost their life for the witness of Christ. Now, I hope that what comes out of our mouth, though, I hope that we have thought very carefully with what we say. And you know, sometimes we might say something that we might think it's a joke. Now, here's what I want us to be really careful of. We might think it's joking, and sometimes I do kid around, but there's also times I have to be very careful. But we could say something that could really offset somebody because they're going through something that at that moment that we don't know of. But if we say the wrong thing, that's like pouring gas onto a fire that's already there, and it'll cause a big explosion. It'll cause detrimental effect. And that's not what Christ is about in the church. Jesus was very quiet. When people would say things against him, Jesus remained silent a lot of the times because the evil rulers that came up against him, evil people who came up against him, they wanted to get a reaction out of Jesus. And that's what will happen to us in life. People will want to get a reaction to you, but sometimes the greatest thing we can do is to keep our lips closed and not say anything at all. When we open our mouths should be open to praise God the Father. Our mouths should be open as a witness to the love of the Lord and what He's done in our life. Our mouth should never be open to spread gossip and dissension within the body of Christ. And that's what we see happening today. Well, I don't like that person in my church because they look like this, or they talk like that, or they just get under my skin. Have you ever really given a person the time of day that you look past what's on the outside, what irritates you? You know what irritates a lot of times, what irritates us about somebody? Our own self. Our own self is what irritates us about somebody else. I want you to think about that, and that's true. If you've got a darkened heart, you're not going to like anybody. You're going to find fault with somebody or a lot of people in certain ways, and the finger is always going to come back to point at you. That's why when I preach, I don't want to do this at each and every person sitting, because there's a finger pointing back at me too. When I preach, I'm going to do a lot of this, because this guy here is not perfect. And even though I'm a pastor, I'll never be perfect on this side of heaven. But I'll tell you what, I love people. And yeah, I'm going to have disagreements. I'm going to have hard times. But I'm still going to love those people. And if there's something in my heart that is not right, I'm going to bring it before God, and I'm going to say, Father, this darkness, this impure thing is within me, and I don't want it there. I don't want something standing in the way of the fellowship that I have with you and my brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't want that in my life. I tell you one thing, I don't like arguments. Now, and there's some people that, man, they just like to argue. That's true. Boy, you say something and wham, they're on it like maple syrup to pancakes. And they want to argue. Well, I always said this, if you're going to argue with me, I'll walk away. I'll still love you and I'll still pray for you, but I will walk away from an argument, because there's no argument worth destroying a relationship over or somebody's life. We need to speak life into people. You know what that life is? God's Word, God's love. When you speak life into people, it builds them up. It makes them feel good. Because like I said, you don't know a walk of life that somebody has come from. And every idle word that you speak, listen to this very carefully. Every idle word that I speak, we will give an account of before God. None of us are going to be exempt from it. You're not going to get to pay some special membership and then get to heaven and say, God's going to say, all right, well, you just step over here because you paid your membership. You won't have to go through that part of the judgment. No, every single one of us will take an account of the words we speak. We will be judged on the things we did wrong, and we will also receive the rewards for what we've done right. So that's why the Bible is talking to us, why God is speaking to our hearts. If you have ears, then hear. If you have a mouth, then you better think about what you're going to speak before you speak it. Because what you speak, if it's negative and bad, it can lead to the worst disaster ever. It can split a church. It really can. One thing that I never could stand in a church was to hear somebody say, well, I've done all this. I deserve this kind of thing in return. Well, you know what? When we're all living for the Lord, we're doing it for Him. We're not doing it for a pat on the back. We're not doing it for ourselves. Well, I don't have to read James chapter 3, verses 8 and 10 now, like I was going to about the tongue. We need to hold our tongue. And I mean, sometimes some of us need to ask God to put permanent something on our mouths and keep us shut until we can say something good. My mother used to say to me, if you can't say something good, don't say anything at all. Well, I can't tell you how many times this mouth flew open. And I found out the reaction to my mouth. And the reaction was a hand to the seat of my britches. You know what I found out happens? There are nerves connected from your mouth to your rear end. Because when that hand or that paddle met my rear end, it did something pretty intense and made my mouth shut. Because I was being taught a lesson. I didn't want to go through that again. That hurt. But I tell you what it made me do. It made me know that I was loved. I was being corrected. And if God has to do that to us, wow, watch out. Watch out. Slow to become angry. It emphasizes patience and reflective forgiveness. Because anger does not lead to God's righteousness. Now, the Bible does say, be ye angry, but what? Don't sin. Jesus got angry. And what did Jesus do? He went into the temple. They were in there buying and selling. And Jesus made a whip. And he overturned the money changers' tables. And with that whip, he drove the ones out who were making a place of worship a den of thieves. Jesus went in there with a righteous anger. I want you to listen to that. A righteous anger. Drove them out. You and I are going to get angry in life. But it's how we channel that anger that's important. I've always said this. When you get angry, if you're in front of somebody, remove yourself immediately. The best way to put out a fire is to take away one of the three sources that makes that fire burn. Take one of them sources away, that fire go out. If you're angry, don't add to a fire, but you remove yourself immediately and you go get on your face before God and you start telling the Lord, this is what's going on, Father, in my heart. This is what I'd like to say, but God, I need you to correct the attitude of my heart. I need you, Father, to pour your love into me, and I need you, Lord, to help me deal with this head on. That's the best way of doing it. Now, if Billy and I were hanging a door together and we're trying to get this door hung in a certain time, and Billy says, now, Jim, you're doing it all wrong, and I'm already kind of aggravated because I got other things I want to do, you know, maybe my back and my neck's hurting, physical thing, whatever. I'm already getting aggravated, and I go, well, Well, what do you expect me to do, Billy? You know, are you some Mr. Now, if I'd done something like that, I would cause a tension, a shift in between what we're trying to do, and it could cause a hurt relationship. But in that situation, if I'm not doing something right, then I could say, well, Billy, why don't you show me what it is I need to do? Show me the correct way. And I think that applies to the Christian life. God, I don't want to be angry with my brothers and sisters in Christ, but in the love of Jesus, show me how to respond to them. Show me how to take care of this matter, Lord. I tell you what, love will make a lot of wrongs right if it's the love of the Lord. It'll sure keep fellowship going for a lot of years down the road. Psalm 29:11 says, a fool always loses his temper, but a wise person holds it back. Now, that's God's word. Think about it. A fool always loses his temper. Now, if you see somebody throwing a temper tantrum all the time, or they're always getting mad over something, or they're disgusted with how things are going, and they're always burning about something going on, the Bible says that they're a fool. That didn't come from my mouth. That came from God's Word. But a person who is wise holds it back. I've always said the best thing you can do is release your anger to God, because He will keep you stable. He will keep you at perfect peace. And He will cause you not to stumble. But you know who's there at all times wanting you to stumble and fall? The devil is going to feed you with lies. He's going to twist things in and out. He's going to make things. He's going to make you ponder things in your mind. And then all of a sudden, wham, here come the words, and boom, it's all over. Or your actions go forth. I've heard people say, oh, I'm a wonderful Christian. Huh? Man, and then the first time somebody sees them lose their cool, you know what it does? Wow, was I wrong about their character? Do I get aggravated? Yes. Do I get angry? Yes. Do you know what I have to do? Lord, I give this to You, and Father, You deal with the situation, but You help me to respond in love. Because in a moment of anger, you're not going to get anything accomplished when two people are angry. That's going to be like two opposite ends of a magnet. You know what? When you take opposite ends of a magnet, what happens? They push each other. That's what you need to ask God. Push us away, Lord, until we can come together, till we've had time to pray. We don't need to let anger be loose in God's house, affecting the body, because then we don't grow. Because as I read to you, man's anger, it doesn't produce the righteousness of God. You know what produces God's righteousness? Love and hope and joy and peace when we pray together. But if there's a problem in the church, we should pray together and we should talk it out. And there's going to be disagreements. One person will feel like they have to be right all the time. No, you don't. I really want you to say to yourself, I do not have to be right all the time. It ain't worth it. It's not worth losing somebody over to be right all the time. I'd rather be wrong or keep my mouth shut than to lose somebody out of the fellowship of the body of Christ. We have to be cautious of human anger. The causes of anger is pride, which the Bible says is one of the seven deadly sins. And pride goes before a great fall as well. Think about that. Selfishness, fear. Did you know fear will cause you to act in anger? It will. People that are unsure of situations, they will act out in fear, and it will lead to anger. and also negative desires. Human anger, it's ineffective and it's an inappropriate response. Human anger is. But the love of the Lord, the love of the Lord can quickly come in and it can quench that fire. Don't ever, you know, I always said this, if you want a fire to burn in your heart, you know what it needs to be? The love of the Lord. And you need to say, we all need to say, set my heart on fire, Lord. Set my soul on fire. There's a good old hymn about that. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. Let my life be a witness of thy saving power. Millions grope in darkness. I don't remember the rest of it now. It's been a while since I sang that song. And plus, when you're getting close to 60 years old, a lot of them words of them songs just kind of fade out over time. But the effects and the responses in anger from humans are never right. It does not achieve God's righteousness. Instead of producing good and just out, we need to be producing the good and just outcomes that God desires. Human anger leads to sinful actions and emotions, and it can lead us to do out of the ordinary things. Have you ever heard somebody say, oh, well, I could never do that. I'd never say that. I'd never act that way. Oh, I'd never. Well, don't ever say I'd never. I'm just going to tell this story, and I'm not judging this man. But I had a gentleman served as a deacon in a church. Always had to be right. Everything had to be his way. And if it was, this is what I heard. Well, we're just going to leave the church. And after hearing this time and time and time again, this is what I finally said to them the one time they said it. They called. Or no, somebody said, you need to call them. They're upset and angry. Well, what's new is kind of what I thought. But anyway, I prayed. I called. And this is what I said. I hope that you can find a church where you guys can fellowship and have peace. But I said, let me tell you this. You're not going to have real peace until you let God and His love rule in your heart and your life. And I heard this man say before, oh, I could never do anything bad. I would never dare to do, well, fast forward about 6-7 years, and I'm not going to say any names or what happened, but I seen this in the news, convicted of a felony, multiple felonies, this deacon. And now he's sitting in prison for I don't know how many years, all because of anger, all because he failed to listen. That's why I'm preaching this message today. Be quick to listen to God and ponder things in your heart and in your spirit. And think about the words that you're getting ready to say. Are these words going to be worth speaking? If they're not, don't say them. And don't ever be angry with somebody. If you're angry at somebody, you need to ask God to forgive you, and then you need to go to that person and say, look, I don't know what happened, but like if Billy and I got angry over hanging a door and I just bombed away, got mad, well, you know what? I'd have to come back, and I'd be man enough. I wouldn't call him on the phone. I'd go to his house. Knock on that door. Billy, hey, there was a disagreement. I'm not going to say it was your fault, Billy. You made me mad. That ain't going to help. Now, I'd say, Billy, I had the wrong motives. I had the wrong spirit and attitude, and I lashed out at you in anger, and I'm sorry I was wrong. Will you please forgive me, because I love you as a brother, and I always want to have you as a friend and have you in the church and have a good relationship. That's the way it should be, truthfully. And that's why I love this church so much because there's some good hearts here, but don't ever say, well, I'll never do that. Never say I'll never. But I'll tell you this, if you keep a tight relationship with God, if you pray, if you read His Word, and you walk with Him, you keep His commandments, and really, you listen to what James, what was being wrote in the book of James here in chapter 1. If we think about it and we live it, we'll have God's peace. And I think we would walk a much careful Christian walk. As Darwin Baggett would have said, now boys, listen. God today is saying, my children, listen, because I love you.